91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This hour, it's Linda Gastenheimer's Restaurant Roundabout featuring wine columnist Fred Tasker. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. For the next hour, we'll talk South Florida restaurants. You'll hear about chef changes, openings and closings, and those places fellow listeners rave about. Perhaps you want to join in. Tell us about your favorite outdoor cafe, an out-of-the-way spot for authentic pasta, a Middle East cuisine gem, or a favorite vegetarian spot. Or tell us about the steakhouse with thick cuts of aged beef. We'll visit with three esteemed restaurant reviewers and, of course, be taking listener calls. Stay with us. The Roundabout is next after the news. We've already got the giggles here with Bonnie.
Because
today's topical
Evan
currents.
Ben and Joseph Cooper were dancing.
Oh, we're going to have a very good time this afternoon, I can tell.
Not at the same time. Okay.
Well, we always have a good time on these Thursdays. It's our restaurant roundabout this hour with chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gastenheimer. Of course, she's in the studio. Her panel of restaurant reviewers are with us. And the three of us all had a pretty nice lunch today, Linda.
Yes, Bonnie. We certainly did.
Yes, we did. We had lunch with Wendy Coffee, and we had lunch with Oscar Manis.
Yay, they're great members.
And they're like most WLRN listeners and supporters. They're intelligent. They're curious about their world.
And they're foodies.
Good looking,
and they're doing good works. So it couldn't have been better. So thank you for joining us, Oscar and Wendy.
We had lunch together, and we had a nice lunch.
Next pledge drive, other listeners might want to join Circle of Friends in that manner.
Well, no, it wasn't Circle of Friends. It was just to have lunch with us.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And we had lunch from
City Hall, which was delicious, and we want to thank City Hall and Steve Haas for the delicious food that they provided.
It's just up the street on Biscayne Boulevard.
Biscayne Boulevard at 20th Street. And so that's what we did.
Yes. And talk about restaurants. This is our restaurant review program.
Right.
Here we are. And as you mentioned before, that it's a popular restaurant program. Always a lot of restaurant news here in South Florida, openings, closing, and a lot of gossip. And here to help us are our reviewers. Evan Ben is the Miami Herald food editor, and he's going to cover Miami-Dade and others with us, other areas with us. Welcome, Evan Ben.
Hey, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us. And Matt Meltzer is the Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group, and he's going to cover Broward County and everything else. Welcome, Matt Meltzer.
Thank you, Linda. Always fun here. Always fun.
Always fun to have both of you.
Especially fun when Evan brings beer.
And Evan has filled the studio with beer.
Evan, do you always bring beer wherever you go?
I find that it helps me make friends.
Well, there's a lot of friends.
Well,
here.
You and Dale Carnegie.
Where all the giggling came from?
Oh, I get. Well, I can't answer that.
Well, let's go on, because we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any tips or maybe a restaurant treasure you want to share with us? Some mom and pop, some local place that's really, really wonderful. Or maybe you have some questions or comments for our reviewers. So give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
And email is radio@WLRN.org, radio@WLRN.org.
And of course, with us on our beer day is our wine columnist, our favorite wine columnist, Fred Tasker. He's with us by Skype. Fred gives the wine suggestions for my Dinner Minutes column that you can read in the Miami Herald. And you can also read Fred Tasker's wine column. It's in Saturday's Miami Herald. So, Fred, what are we drinking today?
Well, now, see, if I was there in person, you'd be drinking fine wine. You can't dine without wine.
Okay,
I'm going to
Fred.
Talk about taking your own wine to a restaurant and why you should do it.
All right. That's very interesting because a lot of people ask about that. So we'll be interested to hear about it. And by the way, all the restaurants that are going to be mentioned today will be listed on my blog, dinnerinminutes.com. And if you missed some of the program will be archived at wlrn.org. So you'll be able to get all the information. Well, as I mentioned, there's a lot of openings, just a few places that I've seen recently. STK at the One Hotel, the name of that hotel kind of...
They're vow averse. They don't like vows.
I see. Well, it used to be the Gansevoort, which was not vow averse. they reopened, and there's a lot of boutique hotels opening up on the beach, and I was just at the Primrose Restaurant, which is at the Styles Hotel on the beach. And then El Cielo opened on Brickell on 5th, just west of Brickell on 5th. Beautiful location because it's that fashionable Miami River. If you haven't been on the river recently, it's really changed a lot. Do you want to say something, Matt?
No, about El Cielo, I actually haven't had a chance to go over there yet, but the Primrose is fantastic. The Styles Hotel?
It's the Styles Hotel.
That's a fantastic restaurant and great people watching because you're right there on Collins Avenue, so it's like dinner and a show.
Great show.
We're going to have a review of El Cielo in next Saturday's Miami Herald, and it's an interesting restaurant because they're doing high-end Colombian food, which is not something you see every day, and I think it might be definitely the first in Miami, so it'll be interesting to see how they do.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll all be reading that, Evan Ben. all right, so let's go to Evan Ben first. Evan, tell us what else is on the scene here.
Well, like you said, there's always openings and closings in Miami and Miami Beach. I think right now, the beginning of the summer, we're seeing more closings than openings.
But tell us who's closed.
Last time I was on, I think a couple of months ago, it was after the South Beach Wine and Food Festival. And, you know, all these restaurants kind of opened before the Wine and Food Festival. And now here we are, June. Tourist season has slowed down. The rent is still just as high as it is the rest of the year. And a lot of operators are struggling to stay open. So some real notable ones that we've seen recently, Kong River House, which is one of the 50 Eggs restaurants on Lincoln Road.
And we had John Kunkel on our program a while ago.
Really successful restaurant, but rents on Lincoln Road are just astronomical right now. A lot of independent restaurateurs are struggling to keep up there. So John Kunkel says that he's going to relocate Kong, maybe somewhere in the mainland. So we're kind of keeping an eye on that.
You wonder why, when something's successful, the rents go up and nobody fills the place. I mean...
I think we're about a year from Lincoln Road being TGI Fridays, P.F. Chang's, Applebee's, and finer shopping
Don't
mall restaurants.
That only the corporates can afford.
Yeah. Well, it's the retail's gone the same way. I think it's not going to be very long before you go there to eat just as you would in Orlando.
Even a New York import, Serendipity 3, very popular New York-style diner on Lincoln Road next to Doraku on the west side, just closed,
And there was a few others.
Siena Tavern, also in South Beach.
Siena Tavern, they spent so much money.
A lot of money.
That.
Celebrity chef Fabio Viviani. It was open for less than 6 months. So you got to wonder.
Well, that spot's a problem.
Why
spot.
Do they take? Why do they give it such a short time, though? Shouldn't they give it a year?
I think in Miami, operators, especially ones who are new to the area, they don't realize how long it takes to get open. Sometimes they're permitting snafus, and they don't get open when they want to. And they've spent all this money that they've budgeted before they're even open. So it kind of puts them at a disadvantage once they finally get customers in the door.
It was also a huge, huge restaurant. And these restaurants have to be full Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or at least Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, not just Friday and Saturday. And so to fill a whole restaurant like that's difficult.
Right, especially if you're not open for lunch, if you're not open for dinner every day, it gets increasingly difficult.
Right. Okay, Matt, what's going on in Broward area?
Well, Broward hasn't had quite the rash of closings because they don't have quite the rash of openings up there. A couple notables, the opening, probably the big one is Kuro at the Hard Rock. And you don't think of the Hard Rock traditionally as being a great restaurant destination. But listen, if people know me, I don't eat seafood ever. I went there and housed the entire seafood menu when I went there.
What did this menu?
Housed. It's
you
slang.
Housed it?
It's slang. It's what the young people say when they mean they ate everything
he
there.
Crushed it.
I crushed it. I killed it. How else do you want me to say it? I went through more seafood there, and that's more seafood than I've eaten my entire life combined. It was that good. It's, as I said, you could call it Broward's answer to Zuma, but I think Zuma is more Dade's answer to Kuro. It's kind of the same quality of food without the.
Is it the same
yada.
Price?
No, it's actually cheaper. It's a little bit cheaper. I mean, saying it's cheaper than Zuma is like saying, nothing's more expensive than Zuma, but it's the same type of food, equivalent, if not better quality, and a much better atmosphere because you don't deal with the I don't want to say it on the radio, but the stuff you have to deal with going to Zuma, waiting 6 months for a table or whatever. Kuro's there. It's in the casino, and it's a beautiful, beautiful restaurant. The other notable opening this weekend is a place called Louis Bossi. It's an Italian place opening up on Las Olas. Big place. I'm actually headed there tomorrow to try it out, but it is one of the more ballyhooed Las Olas openings for a long time.
And that's from the same folks behind Big City Tavern, is that
yeah.
right?
All
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is a good restaurant.
Oh, Big City Tavern's great. Yeah, but they've been around forever, so they're expanding it. You know, Lauderdale's growing. And two spots at Gulfstream that opened that are related, the Adina Wine Bar and Frankie's Sports Bar. They have a whole farm up in North Florida where they raise all the beef, all the chickens, and all the vegetables are locally sourced, so it's like farm-to-racetrack food. It's amazing.
Farm to race.
You can bet on horses while you're eating. That's the best part for me. Because if you can't do a dollar quinella while you're eating, I'd have no interest.
What if that steak's a little tough?
You know, the steaks are phenomenal. Okay. They're first rate.
He doesn't want to go that way. Is that right?
I know where you were going.
Yeah, we're not going that way.
Yeah.
All right. We've got some callers here. Eric and Weston. Hello, Eric. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Yes, I heard about some interesting scuttlebutt on haute cuisine in regards to Miami, that Miami is going to get a pop-up from Alinea out of Chicago, which is ranked, I believe, number 9 in 2014 in restaurants in the world. Has anybody else heard about this?
Eric, that's a great, great tidbit. Yeah, you're right. And as a matter of fact, Alinea's chef and owner, Grant Aketz and Nick Kokonis, were in Miami last night eating at the chef's counter of Alter Restaurant, which is a new restaurant in Wynwood. There's a lot of smoke there. They're definitely going to bring an Alinea pop-up to Miami, they say sometime in 2016, and it's really exciting.
So is Miami ready for molecular gastronomy, in your opinion?
That's a great question. Miami, people have dabbled in molecular gastronomy. That El Cielo that Linda mentioned, the high-end Colombian restaurant, does a lot of molecular things, plays with his food. I think Miami's ready for it in the right hands, and Grant Aketz and Alinea, they are the best hands.
So by being a pop-up, it means it's only going to be here 1 or 2 days?
A couple weeks, a week or two.
Okay.
So and what is molecular gastronomy for those who may be unfamiliar?
That's using gels and foams and kind of manipulating food to create results that we're not used to seeing on the plate, but then also translating to flavors that we are used to, that we like.
Okay.
Another quick comment on modern food.
Modern food. Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Another quick comment. Apparently, they have a ticket system. And if you could explain maybe this ticket system where you buy a ticket and then it's, I guess, prefixed. Please explain this.
Exactly. Yeah. And several restaurants, including Miami, have signed up to maybe go onto this ticketing system called TOC. And just like you explained, you buy a ticket, you have it, it's yours for a specific date and time. And you know how much you're going to pay, you know when you're going, and then you don't have to futz around with worrying about calling a reservation line, getting through, having the confirmation, you're set. And it's also good for the restaurant, too, because they know what business is coming in, they know what to expect. It kind of helps everyone manage the business a little bit better.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks for your call, Eric. Our call-in number is 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. And we'll be taking your calls. But right now, we're going to take a short break. And we're here with our restaurant review program with Evan Benn, Matt Meltzer. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our Restaurant Roundabout program. We've been talking about the South Florida restaurant scene, and giving us the latest restaurant news, and there's been plenty of it, is Evan Benn. He's the Miami Herald food editor, and Matt Meltzer is the Miami editor for Thrillist Media Group. And you, our listeners, you've been giving us your tips and your treasures that you've found, so please give us a call at 800-743-9576. 800-743-WLRN.
Our email is radio@WLRN.org. We will take those as well. Ari Cohn says, Olima on Bay Harbor Island, open for 1 month. We love Peruvian, and this is the best. And I think this is where Lupine used to be, which was Mediterranean, which is on the south side of Cane Concourse. I think that's probably where it is, Olima.
I love that suggestion. I really like that the movement that Peruvian food is having in Miami right now. It's definitely having a moment. Lamar at the Mandarin Oriental is a Gaston Arcurio restaurant, the most celebrated chef in Peru. And his restaurant here is fantastic. And I just went this week to Coya, which is another high-end new Peruvian restaurant in Brickell. We just gave it a 3.5-star review this month. Our critic, Victoria Elliott, loved it. And I have to say, she's right. It's a terrific restaurant.
It's a beautiful spot. It's gorgeous.
Owned by the folks that own Zuma and Tamarina. And I have it on good authority that there's more to come from them in the Peruvian realm.
Wow, okay.
Well, we're talking about Peruvian. There's a place called Amores de Peru that I have been informed about that is I was on par with Lamar as far as good stuff. They have one in the Gables, and then if you feel like having an adventure, there's one out in Deep West Kendall as well. It's kind of that hole-in-the-wall neighborhood kind of place, but it's on par with a Lamar or a Coya or any of those places.
And Peruvian food, it really lends itself well to going high-end or going hole-in-the-wall.
Right.
You can find really good ceviche at Sabor Peru, you know, lots of places, and then you can also go high-end and kind of treat yourself.
Okay, and we have several calls here. Let's go to line 3. Is it Tiago? Is that your name, Tiago?
Tiago?
Yeah, Tiago.
Tiago, hi, you're on the air.
How's everything? I was listening to you guys, and I live in Miramar, and next week when I got the newspaper, I saw this article about the best cannelloni in Fort Lauderdale. And I was searching about this restaurant. It's very tiny, small place, actually. Italian restaurant called Bon Gusto in Fort Lauderdale. I went to try it last Monday. What a find. What a great, great restaurant. Bon Gusto, yeah.
Bon Gusto.
Yeah.
And the article was about what? Best cannoli?
About their best cannelloni in town.
Cannelloni.
Cannellonis. Homemade cannelloni. It's really like a meat cannelloni with bechamel sauce. It was amazing.
Wow, good tip. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. And where is it in Fort Lauderdale, did you say?
Yeah, it's north of Commercial Boulevard and Federal.
Okay, well, thank you for that tip. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to, I can't see that. Is it Ray? Ray in Miami Beach?
Yes,
yeah.
Ray.
Yeah. Hello, Ray. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. You were just talking about Peruvian food, and I haven't been to the high-end ones you were discussing. But we've eaten Peruvian food all over the city. And a new Peruvian restaurant opened on Bay Harbor Island called Olima. And our perspective, it's the best we've tasted in the city.
Well, he may not have just heard.
Oh, yeah.
We just mentioned it.
Another caller just mentioned that. It's definitely, now it's the hottest place
in
Miami.
Harbor.
I think I'll be heading there right after we get out of here for lunch.
Ray, thank you for your call. Thank you.
The terrycuela and the octopus. Outstanding.
Okay, go for the octopus.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for your call. Raul in my line one. Raul in Miami, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I'm calling about the segment that you're calling about the restaurants closing. I lived in Chicago and I worked for a company called Lettuce Entertainment. It's a conglomerate of different restaurants, you know, different themes. And I think one of the things that Miami or the Florida area is missing is service.
Everyone's laughing here.
Occasionally you might go to a restaurant where they're not particularly attentive or knowledgeable. Once in a while. It happens.
Once in a while.
Once
you're right. And we get a lot of calls about the service here, and it would be nice if we had better service.
And Lettuce Entertain You in Chicago is definitely known for being on the top of its hospitality game. I remember a restaurant there called Scusi. I think that was a Lettuce Entertain You restaurant, right? Scusi?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and always had good food, but phenomenal service. And I think people will come back to a restaurant for great service. They won't come back if it's lousy. The food won't.
Correct.
The food can't bring them back. The food can't make up for bad service.
That is true, and that's one of the things I think that helps the restaurant close or you know, aids it in the failure.
Okay.
Because no matter how good your food is, they're not going to come back. The service is horrible.
Hopefully somebody will be listening in on that and take a hint here. I think some of the problem is that people here, it's very transient. So by the time they've been trained, they're off to something else. And some of the restaurateurs here The small restaurants have said they train people, but then they leave right away because they take that training and they can go to a corporate restaurant where they get benefits.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned a lot of the hotel restaurants that open on South Beach, you know, and those are often from celebrity chefs or chefs who have restaurants in New York or Vegas or LA, and this is their second or third outpost, and they're here maybe a week out of the month, or if they're here for the first 3 months they're open and then we don't see them again. So I think what we need and what we're seeing is more locally grown talent that are branching out and opening their own restaurants. That the restaurant Alter that I mentioned that Grant Achatz from Chicago ate at last night, that chef Brad Kilgore used to work at a hotel restaurant in Bell Harbor, the St. Regis, the J&G Grill. He left, got an investor, and opened his own place.
Justin, that was a good restaurant too.
Very good. I gave it 4 stars.
Speaking of Bell Harbor, the one Bell Harbor now is the Ritz-Carlton. And did a new restaurant open there? Do you know who's there?
Yeah, I think it's called Bistro. I could be wrong.
I think you're right.
And then across the street at Bell Harbor Shops, a new restaurant from the Houston's group just went in.
Yes.
The Hillstone group, excuse me.
Hillstone.
And it's called Bell Harbor Grill. Supposed to be good.
Where could that be? I mean, there's so much going on there.
They built out where the valet was.
Yes.
In Bell Harbor Shops. They built out there. So it goes over the parking lot. And there's an area outside. Uh-huh. And then there's the inside area, which is over the... spills out over the parking lot.
Very interesting. Okay. I'll give out our number one more time. It's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. Let's go to line 4. Roberta in Miami Beach. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was calling because there's the best-kept secret of Cuban cuisine in Miami Beach. It's called Sazon.
Sazon, are you saying? Sazon.
Sazon Cuban cuisine. It's healthy. And the service is excellent, and it's perfect for families.
Where is it?
We go there very frequent. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Is that the one on 73rd Street and Collins?
On Collins and 73rd.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes.
And how are you spelling it?
S-A-Z-O-N.
Excuse me?
I was just saying, how are we spelling it? You're saying S-A-Z-O-N, Sazon.
That's correct. That's correct. Okay.
They're on top of things, Bonnie. Wow.
Bonnie got almost as much as Evan and Matt. They're out every night.
So am I. A little secret. I don't cook.
Did you want to say something? Okay, fine. We'll go to Brian in Hollywood. Hello, Brian. Brian, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm on. Okay, great. Listen, I want you to give me a recommendation, but I have a comment on the touted hamburger at Frankie's. I had it. I went down there. I got the flyer in the mail, so I went all the way to Goldstream to eat this hamburger. And, well, I wasn't disappointed, but I wasn't overwhelmed either. I thought there was nothing really distinctive or special about it. But anyway.
Well, the thing about that burger is not so much that they put all kinds of crazy ingredients on it. They have real high-quality meat, and they cook it very well, no matter what the temperature is. If you're the type, you know, that you want a burger that's got – you know, foie gras and bacon and 17 kinds of cheese on it, which some do. It's great, but it's...
I'm a purist.
Oh, all right. Hey, well...
Well, I think the other thing is,
it's healthy for you, but it's got to have some flavor, too.
Right, and that grass-fed beef definitely has a different flavor than what we're used to, that corn-finished beef, which has more of a natural, fatty beefiness to it. Grass-fed beef tends to taste a little vegetal, a little minerally, and it's not for everyone. It's lean, and you're right. I don't think it makes the best burger. I'm with you, caller.
Okay. Listen, if you could give me a list of alternatives for Runway. I've been going there for years. And
Runway, you're saying?
Anthony's Runway 84, you mean?
I'm going to fire the place. I've been greasing the maitre d', Vinny, there for 10. The guy still doesn't know my name. You know, the guy that owns it walks around like he's John Gotti. He's never been friendly. I've had it, but I love the food, so I keep going back. So I know I get abused, but I love it anyway. So you got to give me some alternatives. I don't like the pretense, and I'm sick of going in there. So give me some alternatives, that'd be great.
People talk up Materano's a lot up there. I've had good experiences. Materano's, if you're talking about Fort Lauderdale, is a great spot. This new Louis Bossi is supposed to be great. I think that might be a viable alternative for you as well. And if you want to go a little more casual, Fork and Balls is also very good, sort of meatball red sauce.
You know what? I went in there, but the noise level so high.
It is loud.
So high,
How about Valentino's? That's a good standby there, yeah, in that area?
Valentino's. Where's that?
It's on Federal.
Oh, yeah, where's Federal?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
What was the first recommendation?
First one was Materano's, and there's one at Hard Rock, and there's one in Fort Lauderdale in the city, and it's very, very good. It's that style of Italian food, a little more modern feeling, I think, than you would find at Runway. But yeah, I've had an interesting service experience at Runway as well. I was there once with my friend, and the waiter was reading the specials, stopped in the middle of reading them, looks at my friend and goes, "I'm sorry, do you do porn?" Like, in the middle of reading.
Oh, my.
And that was my Runway experience.
Thank you for your call, Brian.
There was a great article in The Onion this week about, like, man has to fake facial expressions of interest for 30 seconds while waiter reads specials. And that's so true. That happens to me every night. You know, I was like, the crab sounds great.
Well, we're going to take a short break. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we were talking about South Florida restaurants with Evan Benn and Matt Meltzer. And we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our Restaurant Roundabout program. We've been talking about the South Florida restaurant scene, and quite a scene it is. Giving us the latest news is Evan Benn. He's the Miami Herald food editor. And Matt Meltzer, he's the Miami editor for Thrillist Media Group. And you are listeners. You've been giving us your tips with your little treasures, or maybe you have a question, or maybe you have a comment for our reviewers here. And our phone numbers is 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
And email is radio@WLRN.org, radio@WLRN.org.
And if you can't get through the phone, sometimes it's easier to just get through to the email.
I have something down at the diner level. Matt was talking about the dearth of eateries in Northwest Dade. And the old ranch house chain, there's one left, and it's in Hialeah. Mm-hmm. It's under new management, and it is really very good. Some great entrees, homemade desserts. They have even have craft beers up in North Hialeah.
Oh, well, Evan will be right there.
And it's 138th Street in Miami lingo, which is Northwest 84th Street in Hialeah. It's really good.
Great tip.
Okay.
Good diner, good breakfast.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we have an emailer.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
We've heard this one, but we'll say it again. It's from Brian, Sublime in Fort Lauderdale. Fantastic vegan restaurant. Don't be fooled by it being a vegan restaurant. Even carnivores love the cuisine. My favorite is the Frito Misto, a tempura-battered cauliflower dish dressed in a sweet chili sauce. Great atmosphere, delicious cocktails as well. It's off US 1 near Sunrise. 100% of the profits are donated to animal welfare charities.
Wow, okay.
That's pretty good.
Right, it is. And we get a call about that every single time we do restaurant program.
But I didn't know that 100% of the profits are donated to animal welfare charities.
Well, how could it be 100%? Oh, of the profits. They have of to the, run the rat. Over the profits. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Fine. Okay, good. They're still open. I got it now. Okay. Fine. It took me a little while, but it's here. Okay, Olga and Kendall, you're on the air.
Hi, Linda and Bonnie. Thank you for this topic. It's great.
Good.
I wanted to recommend a restaurant in Coral Gables. It's called Booya. I don't know if Matt or Evan have been there, but I'd love to know if they had and if, what their reviews were on it.
Yeah.
We really enjoy it. It has a great bar.
Is it called bar.
Booya?
Booya.
B-U-L-L-A.
Oh, Booya. Booya. Okay.
And it's fun to say because it's like Booya.
actually, it's a gastro bar.
Yesterday's Miami Herald food section, which Linda had a wonderful story on the cover about mango and chicken salad.
Thank you, Evan.
Our cover story was about five restaurants in Miami that are trying to build healthier burgers by substituting some of the beef for mushrooms. And Booya is one of them. So it has a really good mushroom beef blend burger that's going to be on the menu through the end of July, and proceeds for it benefit healthier eating. So that's a good thing. But yeah, Booya is a really great kind of Latin style gastro pub in Coral Gables. It's in the old Porfine space, if you remember that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, really, really good restaurant.
So corner Ponce.
Yes,
yeah.
Great
and they
tip.
Have a great gin and tonic for those who like gin and tonic.
Who doesn't?
All right, that's important. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank
My
you.
Husband will be right there.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Thank Bye-bye. You, Olga. Bonnie, go ahead.
Justin, Basilic Vietnamese Grill on Commercial Boulevard in Lauderdale by the Sea. Amazing Vietnamese food, beautiful space, accommodating service.
It's so funny he should mention mention that because Kuro, which was the restaurant Matt was just talking about at the Hard Rock Hotel, the chef, Alex Becker, he is a kind of a student of Asian cuisine. He's worked for Nobu. He's worked for Katsuya, two really high-end Japanese restaurant groups. He recommended Basilic to me. He said it's his go-to spot for Vietnamese cuisine. So definitely sounds legit.
Okay, it's B-A-S-I-L-I-C, Linda.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Let's go to Robert in Plantation. Hello, Robert. You're on the air.
Hi. I went to Ted's last night in the Young Arts.
Oh, yes.
I forgot to mention, that one's closed.
Yeah, it's closed.
Yeah.
It did?
I thought you meant Ted's Hideaway.
It closed today. Yeah, today's the last day of service.
Oh, they told me Saturday.
I'm sorry, the 20th, Saturday. I have my days confused.
What a shame. They just opened.
They opened 5 months ago, Linda. That's so sad.
The people next to us were talking about it, and they apparently it was a fight between the building and the management of the restaurant over some catering gig, and they said, well, we're pulling out. I can't believe you didn't hire us. We're pulling out.
There's some good drama. I like that.
It's always good to have the backstory here.
It's a nice space because it was a restaurant kind of within the Young Arts complex on Biscayne. So it was kind of like a mixed restaurant / performing arts venue. Really, really nice. And it's too bad they didn't last longer.
Right, and they had the young students.
That was the best part of it. Yes. Was that, you know, you got sort of the up and coming talent from Young Arts. I will say it was probably the worst steak I ever had, though. And I'm not joking. It was. The kids are great. The kids are great performers, but
it was a difficult venue. You had to know it was there.
It was.
The group that ran that was kind of the catering arm of Stephen Starr. And Stephen Starr is a Philadelphia-based restaurateur who runs Steak 954 at the W in Fort Lauderdale, Makoto in Bell Harbor, really, and Verde, the restaurant at the Pan
Museum. And
they do
a great job in the other restaurants.
Terrific, terrific hospitality group. So I was really surprised to hear that Ted's didn't work out for them, really their first failure in South Florida. So to hear that there's a backstory and some drama, that doesn't surprise me.
And speaking of Verde, I want to give a kind of shout out to Verde because it is so good and it is so beautiful and it's surrounded by such beauty both outside and inside, and I love Verde.
For South Florida, you know, I get asked all the time what's the best waterfront place to eat, and it's surprising that I can't come up with more, but Verde is my go-to. It's gorgeous.
It's only on Thursday nights.
Right.
Because the rest of the time it's during the day.
But they have a great brunch.
Great brunch, great lunch, probably the best omelet in Miami.
Yes,
and it's
I
just
agree.
Beautiful to sit there. I just like to sit on the steps and have a coffee there.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. Yeah, it's a great place. Okay, let's go to line 3, Ike in Miami. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Ike.
Yes, Ike's. Okay, you're on the air, Ike.
And I'm calling because everybody keeps talking about new restaurants and bemoaning the fact that, old ones close. Miami's always chasing something new and exciting. There are some really good steak restaurants that are available. They are chains, unfortunately, but they are great steak restaurants. Morton's comes to mind. There are several locations. They've done a lot of things, kind of opening up their menu. And the same for Capital Grille. And I just think it's people that are going out for food should remember that places that have been there for a decade probably are there for a reason.
I've always said that. People kind of bemoan chains, but at the end of the day, you know, people go there for a reason. And the food at those places is very good. It gets lost in the shuffle because we talk about this new steak place that opened or that new steak place that opened. But yeah, I put Morton's up there with a lot of those places. Capital Grille, too. It's just, you know, people want to know what's new. So what we talk about is what's new. But you want to talk about the best? Sure, you could put them right up there.
And the name of the game with restaurants is consistency. You know, you want the steak to taste the same as it did last time you remember. And these big restaurant groups are excellent at executing on a consistent high level. Hillstones in Coral Gables is a great example. People like to make fun of it. It's a chain, but
you know something? It's always
food.
Good.
Yeah, always
when
good.
When I meet people there, and it's always packed.
Yeah, always
it's the
packed.
Consistency.
You know what you're going to get. It's going to be good food, and you know the price is going to be fair.
I do want to say that the one at Bell Harbor has a little bit of a different menu. For example, the artichokes are on the menu. It's not just you go in and do you have artichokes today? So they're on the menu, and there's some other different things.
Okay, very good. Let's go to line 6.
Oops.
Line 6, Carolina in Miami, you're on the air.
Hello, is this Carolina? Did you just say?
Yeah, Carolina, it's you. You're on. Go for it.
Hi, I wanted to recommend a couple of restaurants, one that I've been going to for, 15 years. I would take the bus and go there with my sister. It's Katana. It's a sushi restaurant in North Bay Village area. And it's kind of one of those hole in the walls. It doesn't even have a name anymore, but the sushi is ready to go once you get a seat, if you get a seat.
It's called Cabana?
Katana. The sword in Japanese, Katana.
What else?
And the other one is a Monserrate, which is on Galloway Road and 87th. And their service is just amazing. There are servers there that have been working there for over 10 years. Because of the owners, just keep such a high level of service there. So
perfect.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for your call. And let's go to line four. Jason, Miami. We got a lot of Miami callers. Where's our Broward callers?
Palm Beach.
And Palm Beach.
Key West.
800-743-9576. Give us a call. Jason, you're on the air.
Hey there. I'm not sure if you or the panel can help, but since I was a child, I've always loved honey garlic chicken, and about 12 years ago, I found what, in my opinion, was like the best honey chicken in Miami, and then it closed. So it was called the Red Lantern, and it was in Coconut Grove. I heard that it moved. Can you guys help?
We don't know honey chicken.
Huh? Honey garlic chicken. That's a tough one. Unless you want to go the chain route, but that's not. It's going to be chain honey garlic chicken. You know, if you're going.
No.
You don't want to do that. Yeah.
Like
other than that,
Canton business.
What's
Canton.
That?
The Canton. Used to have a steak.
They're kind of famous.
Yeah.
Steak, yeah.
But the one, I haven't heard about Red Lantern opening up anywhere else.
You know, my kind of go-to for that nostalgic Chinese food is always King Palace Barbecue up on 163rd Street in North Miami Beach. No frills.
163rd in North Miami Beach?
Yeah.
What avenue is that?
163rd Street. It's a little bit east of 95.
Now, is that Asian food in general, or is that like honey garlic chicken? Like, wow.
What's the difference?
It's
huh?
It's Chinese. It's like authentic Chinese food where, like, you ask them for the real menu and they give you the English one, and they'll kind of give you a hard time and then bring you out a menu that's all Chinese, and you know you're in for a good time.
Yeah, I went to this place in Pinecrest called Tani Thai.
Okay.
They've been there forever. And they have, it's a Thai restaurant, but they have a honey chicken equivalent called Cocky Bob. That's probably the closest that I've had to this amazing honey chicken.
What was it called again?
It's called Tani, T-A-N-I. They've been there forever.
Yeah,
I take my mother there every year for Mother's Day.
I've got a hankering for honey chicken now. Okay.
Jason, I don't know if this is the same one, but a Red Lantern opened, I don't know when it opened, but it's in Pompano Beach. West Sample Road.
So that showed up on our health inspection report card this week. It was shut down due to rodent activity.
Thank you.
That's why the honey chicken is so good.
Don't go there this week.
Jason, on that note, I think you should hang up all
Seems
your
like
head.
Like so many Chinese restaurants wind up on that.
I just wanted to say, you have an app at the Miami Herald. And what's it called now?
Yeah, it's called the Miami.com Dining Advisor. If you go to dine.miami.com, very easy, dine.miami.com. You can pull up all the latest health inspection reports for all restaurants in South Florida. You can see our latest reviews, restaurant news, all kinds of stuff. But it's really helpful to find out how clean the restaurant you're going to dinner is.
That's something that you've added to the Herald section. It's very interesting. People go to it right away.
People care.
That
you know,
site again is Miami.
Dine.miami.com. It's called our Miami.com Dining Advisor.
I have a question. How's Tuyo and who's the new chef?
The name of the chef is escaping me now. That's the restaurant at Miami-Dade College.
Yeah.
And it's very good. It's actually on my list of this week's top 10 places to take Dad for Father's Day brunch.
Oh,
they're doing
okay.
A special brunch on Sunday, and it sounds really, really great.
Okay. We need to go to a break. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We're talking about South Florida restaurants with Evan Benn and Matt Meltzer, and we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. It's our Restaurant Roundabout program. We've been talking about the South Florida restaurant scene. And giving us the latest restaurant news is Evan Benn, Miami Herald food editor, and Matt Meltzer. He's the Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group. And we've been getting really wonderful information from you, our listeners. You've been calling in with your tips and your treasures that you found. Right now, it's dinner in minutes, because maybe you're not going out to eat tonight. And tonight's dinner is one for Dad. This is an easy one for Dad's day. It's a steak and portobello sandwich with a tapenade-topped tomato. side dish. Now, so let Dad relax. Let's just put away the barbecue and cook for him. Because this recipe is made in the kitchen. It's steak, mushrooms, and onions. They're marinated in balsamic vinegar with a little garlic. And then you remove the steak, but save the marinade because we're going to use it for our dipping sauce. So you cook the steak about 5 minutes aside or even less. It depends on what kind of steak you have. But a thermometer should read 125 for rare, 145 for medium rare, and on up from there if that's what you like. So then you take the steak out of the pan and put the onions and mushrooms in. And then you cut that's all up, put it on a toasted roll. And then you cook the marinade in the same pan that you've used for the steak, and just for a few minutes, and that becomes your dipping sauce. And the side dish, very simple, just slice some tomatoes and put tapenade inside. Now, tapenade is that thick paste of capers, olives, oil, and vinegar. And there are several brands in the market that are very good. Now, that complete recipe and a photo, that's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. And by the way, all of the titles, all the restaurants mentioned on the program today are going to be on my blog, dinnerinminutes.com. Fred Tasker, let's have a drink.
Linda, when you guys get together to talk about restaurants and food, I always like to talk about restaurants and wine. And today it's about bringing your own wine to a restaurant instead of ordering from the list. Now, in Florida, it is legal to do that, but there is kind of an etiquette to it that you should follow to make the experience entirely enjoyable. First, why would you do it? A good reason is that it's a special bottle, maybe one that you bought in France on your honeymoon, or one given to you by your dear departed mother-in-law, or even an obscure Bulgarian wine that's unusual and very hard to find on lists. In fact, one of the things you should do is Google the restaurant's list and not bring a bottle they already have. That's considered poor form.
In other words, don't bring a bottle because you think it's going to be cheaper than getting the bottle in the restaurant.
Is that exactly. In theory, bringing your own bottle should not be to save money by avoiding the restaurant's wine prices, even if they're totally out of hand. So, as Linda said, it's poor form to bring a $9 grocery store bottle.
Right. I have friends who have a wonderful wine cellar, and they don't cook that well, and they want to have somebody cook a really wonderful meal and have their wine with it.
Excellent. That's a very good idea, yeah. No, in actual practice, it's not true that you don't save money. Here's the problem. If you want to have a really powerful wine, like a big California Cabernet or a French Burgundy, it really needs to be 7 to 10 years old or even older to be ready to drink. But often on a restaurant list, it'll be much younger, and that's because of the interest cost of holding an expensive bottle in their cellar for a long time. And if they do have an older one, a wine that would cost $50 when it was young might cost $600 on the list because of those interest charges. And of course, that really galls the kind of people that Linda was talking about, the collectors who remember buying that very same bottle from the winery years ago for $25.
Right, they've been storing it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they like to bring their own bottle. And here's how you do that if you want to. When you make your reservation with the restaurant, ask if it's okay to bring your own bottle and pay a corkage fee. The corkage fee can be as little as $15 a bottle, but I remember a big Miami Beach restaurant that charged $65 corkage. And if you wanted to buy the bottle at the restaurant, the cheapest wine on their list was $65. So it went out of business very quickly, and deservedly so. So here's what you do. You can carry the bottle in a brown paper bag if you want, but I like to use a decorated paper wine bag, the ones that you can buy in the greeting card aisle or even the dollar store. Just put on a little fanciness there. And you just set it on your table and you tell the waiter or wine steward that you called ahead and arranged to bring it. The waiter will open it and pour it just as if you had bought it there. Now, when the bill comes, presumably you'll see the agreed upon corkage fee on the bill. And that's there to partially reimburse the restaurant for the money it would have made if you had bought it from their list. But you should still tip the waiter $5 or $10 for opening the wine, because it's no less work for him if you brought your own wine. So wine fans, get out there and get that fabulous wine you've been saving for having dinner with the Pope, and take it to your favorite restaurant and enjoy.
All right.
And you know, in Saturday's Miami Herald, Fred has a list of 10 wines that you could share with Dad on Father's Day, and they're all great, great picks. All red wines, because Fred, you think red wine, red meat is the perfect pairing for Father's Day?
That you can't do better than that. I'm glad that you noticed that.
Sounds good. I notice everything you write.
Okay, it's nice to have your boss love you, right, Fred?
That's right.
Okay, let's go to Penelope in Key West. Hello, Penelope, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling about two of my favorite spots, my favorite go-to spots in Key West. The first one is Sugar Apple. It's a little vegan cafe that's connected to a health food store on Simonton near Truman. And they have great sandwiches, salads, and smoothies for really fair prices. My favorite sandwich there is the tempeh Reuben. It has tempeh, sauerkraut, vegan Thousand Islands dressing on homemade bread, multigrain bread.
You had another restaurant you wanted to give us?
Yeah, the other one is called Azor, and that's on Fleming Street. It's also a little hole-in-the-wall place, but it's really nice. They have the best homemade gnocchi I've ever had. It melts in your mouth. They make a few different kinds, but my favorite...
I'm glad to hear that they're still open. That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite has truffle oil, arugula, and pine nuts. And they also have a dessert that's fantastic that I can't quit, and it's called panna cotta. It's espresso panna cotta with candied lemons and chocolate-covered espresso beans. Also, my waiter had...
I was skeptical when you were talking about tempeh, but the but gnocchi with truffle, and that sounds good.
Actually, they're, in my Flavors of the Florida Keys book, they're in the book, and they have this French toast that's a key lime pie French
toast.
Are they still serving that? Yes?
Yes, they are.
Got the recipe in my book. It's so good.
when I was having dinner the other night, my waiter suggested a dessert special, and it was a mango mousse pie, and actually he brought the mangoes in from his backyard because it's mango season in QS right now, and it
all
was
over.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, too. Okay, thank you very much. Can we squeeze
thank
in?
You.
Thank you. Squeeze in one more call. How about line 9? Marcus in Deerfield, we only have a minute left. Do you have a suggestion for us?
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. I just want to let you know that I'm calling from Broward County to complete your circle.
Thank you. I'm so glad to hear from you.
And, you know, one of the largest ethnic groups we have in the Deerfield and Pompano Beach area is Brazilian, believe it or not. And there's a great Brazilian restaurant right next to Island Water Sports on Deerfield Beach called Barracuda's that has a blackened edamame, which I don't care for the bland, regular, salt-coated edamame. But this was absolutely fantastic, very different, and really made me a fan of edamame again. But they have great steaks, too, and very typical Brazilian food.
Okay.
So,
thank
That's
you very
my treasure.
Much. Thank you. Do we have time for just one more?
Okay.
Okay, let's go to line 10.
Quickly.
Susan, Southwest Ranches. Quickly, just 30 seconds. Go for it.
Market 17 in Broward. It is a farm to table, and they have dining in the dark, which is so much fun. You get courses, and you have to eat with your fingers in the pitch black dark.
No idea what you're seeing. All right. I'd love to hear.
It.
Thank you. With so many more people we'd love to hear from, but it's been a fun packed day, and we're out of time. I'm sorry to all the callers we couldn't get to. Evan Benn, Miami Herald food editor. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Linda.
Great advice, as always. And Matt Meltzer, Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group. Thank you for all your advice.
Well, thanks for having me in, Linda. I appreciate it.
And all of the restaurants mentioned will be listed on my blog. That's at dinnerandminutes.com. Fred Tasker, great advice as always. Joe Cooper, Bonnie Berman, great to be with you.
Thank you.
Great to be with you.
Next week, we'll be talking about simple summer entertaining recipes with David Fouquier, from owner of Fouque's Restaurant. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And thanks for tuning in. Sorry to those callers we couldn't get to. If you didn't catch the whole program, we have free audio archives and downloads at our website, WLRN.org. More information, links, and photos at the Topical Currents Facebook page, courtesy of Paul Leary. Tomorrow at 1, it's Ed Bell and the South Florida Arts Beat. Monday, Bonnie and I return with the remarkable story of David Lee Windetcher, a kid in Miami. He was a walking crime wave, violence, drugs, a gang capo. He's now a celebrated defense attorney.
Ed Bell has a live performance tomorrow. It's the Miami Jazz Trio at 1.
Joseph Cooper with Bonnie Berman, Linda Gassenheimer, and Fred Tasker. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.